our study so far in this series, in God's waiting room, we understand that God at times, in His wisdom and in His providence, brings to us times of testing and times of trial. We know that God's design for His children in these times of trial, these times that we often call chastening, are really for our good. That's His design, that's His plan, that's His purpose, that we would grow through them, that we would be made more and more like Christ. Yet we also understand that in these times of testing and in these times of trial, there is another force at work, and his name is Satan, the devil. His desire is to seek to use each trial and each test that is brought into our lives as a means of temptation, a means to draw us further away from our Lord. In the gospel accounts, we find a story, a account of the temptation of Jesus Christ. And we've begun there this morning in Matthew chapter 4. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. It says there, "Then Jesus, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Lord was taken by the devil into the wilderness, led of the Holy Spirit of God, to be tempted, to be tried. It was a test from the Father. It was a chance for the devil to seek to discredit the Savior and His ministry. From those accounts, as you read them here and in the other gospel accounts, we learn a few things concerning the temptation of the Lord. We understand from these things that there are avenues of temptation that we all have to face, that we all go through, and that Satan uses three basic means by which he seeks to test us or to tempt us. We know them as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan seeks to get us to the place that he is able to tempt us or to lure us from God by the avenues of our eyes, the avenues of our flesh, and the avenue of the pride of life. He wants to discredit us, our life, our ministry, our opportunities. He wants to draw us away from a right relationship with God. His desire is to draw us from Christ. And from the very beginning of time, to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ to now, he uses these avenues of temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But as we look at that scene there, as we read it there this morning, I'm also reminded how he uses these times at points of our vulnerability. When you and I go through these times where he seeks to lure us away, these times where he tests us with our flesh and our eyes and the pride of life, he is often coming to us in times of our vulnerability. As you look at that passage there this morning, we're not going to look at it in detail. There's other things for us to consider this morning. But I want you to understand what was taking place, how Christ was vulnerable. There was a time of solitude. He had been away by himself, fasting for 40 days. He is in the wilderness alone. It's in that time of solitude that Satan comes and he tempts him and seeks to hurt him or destroy him. It's a time of stress. He had been fasting. He was hungry. Those are times of stress and difficulty. It was a time of susceptibility. He was weak physically. I want you to think about it for a moment. We're in a study called God's Waiting Room. When you are found at the time of God's waiting room, these times of trial, these times of testing, are they not at times times of solitude? Are they not times of stress? Are they not times when we are physically weak and susceptible to the temptations of the devil? This morning, we want to be able to look at these events that take place in our lives, this difficult time, these days of stress and difficulty, these times of solitude, these days of susceptibility. And we want to understand the difference of what God is doing and what Satan is seeking to do in us. That's why we are given the admonition of the Lord, as he said to his disciples on the night before he was taken and crucified. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. This morning we want to discover together from God's word these temptations, these tests, and we want to understand the difference of them all. So that when we are in these times of vulnerability, this solitude, distress, and susceptibility, we won't fall prey to the temptations of Satan, but we'll understand the whole purpose that God has in mind. Before we take up our thoughts any further this morning, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that is ours to come and be able to study your word together. Lord, I pray today that you would help, and I pray that you would teach us from your word as we seek to discover these wonderful truths and these wonderful thoughts from your word. Father, we recognize and we realize that there are times that all of us will face these periods of solitude, these periods of stress, these periods of susceptibility. We have been brought at times of your testing into the waiting room of God. Now, Lord, we want to go through those times prepared to do well. Lord, we realize that you have our good in mind. You love us and care for us. Lord, we realize that there is one who is seeking to devour us in all things. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to come to your word today, learn and grow, that we might live in victory through these most difficult times. So, Father, we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you and I do not take the time to understand the temptations that we face, if you and I don't seek to mark the difference between what God is doing and what Satan is trying to accomplish in our lives, we run the risk while we enter into those times of solitude, those times of stress, those times of susceptibility, as we're in the waiting room of God, we run the danger of becoming bitter. And that will rob us of the joy that the Lord has within our lives. He desires to strengthen us. He desires to help us. So we need to know, first of all, and understand the difference of what is taking place at this time in the waiting room of God. That time of solitude that he has designed for you. That time of stress that the Lord allowed. That time of susceptibility. By the way, if you're in Matthew chapter 4, would you look with me please at verse 1 for a moment? Therefore was Jesus led up, notice the next words, of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 1 is a key to that whole section that we understand. That time of solitude, that time of stress, that time of susceptibility was planned by Almighty God. The Lord Jesus led into the wilderness by the Spirit. So we understand that through all of these things, there are two basic concepts. Sometimes we use them interchangeably, but if we're not careful, they can cause us confusion. And we have to distinguish the difference that we not be led to hurt and bitterness. When you come to a passage such as this, and we understand these times of testing, we need to recognize that there is, first of all, what we call the test from the Lord. There are those tests, those times of testing from the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 makes it rather plain that Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. It was a test from the Lord. So as you study through your Bible, it's clear that there are times that God will bring times of trial, times of challenge, times of hardship into our lives. His purpose is that we would be tested as His children through that time, that our character would be developed. Each test from the Lord is designed to develop within us the character of Christ. I want you to take your Bible now and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Familiar passages to us this morning. Nothing will be new to us. We're going to take that which we know and apply it to the fact that we are found at times in the waiting room of God. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We've looked at these verses before. We understand that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that word "all things" includes good and bad. Times of blessing, times of hardship. Times of happiness, times of sadness. Times of health and times of sickness. All things work together for good. God is weaving in and out of your life through all the events that which is His plan and His purpose for your life. And what is that plan and purpose? Verse 29 makes it clear. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." And again, I want to remind you that term "predestinate" is a term that we often just go, "I don't understand its meaning." It's a big word. Simple thought. It means to mark out the boundaries. God has marked out the boundaries of your life and my life. He has determined for us His will. He has predestinated us for what purpose? That we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God's plan for every believer, God's plan for your life, is that your character would be shaped and molded to the image of Christ. So when we're brought in that time of solitude, in that time of stress, in that time of susceptibility, understand it is a test of the Lord that He might develop within you the character of Christ. Sometimes we wonder why God would allow such hardship and such heartache. Can God conform us to the image of Christ without all of those things? Isn't God concerned that we would have a life of ease? I've shared this with you before, I'm going to share it again. God is most concerned in your life with your character, not your comfort. And there are some things that can only be done and some things that can only be molded and shaped in your life through times of heartache and times of trial. There are lessons that we can only learn there. There are revelations of God that we will only find in that time of solitude, in that time of stress, and in that time of susceptibility. But folks, you and I have to always understand the difference. There are times that God brings into our lives simply test. Weston touched on the fact this morning in Sunday school that sometimes we think, when we consider the rewards or loss of rewards that one day we can receive, that somehow God is punishing His people. We've talked about that under the concept of the chastening of the Lord being God's punishment in my life. Would you consider a couple examples with me quickly this morning, just in your mind's eye, and tell me what fault was in their life when God tested them? I want you to think for a moment with me about Job. We've considered him somewhat. God went to Satan and said, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man who eschews evil." Satan didn't come and said, "I'd like to test Job." God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God designed a test in Job's life. Why? Because Job wasn't righteous or holy or good enough? No. God had some revelations for Job and some things to conform in his life. And he brought a time of testing into his life. What about Joseph? How about Daniel? Very interesting when you study both of those lives. There is not at any point in either of those lives that God records for us an action, a thought of sin. They were upright men. Both tested at the time of their youth and even in their maturity. So the test wasn't there to punish them, but it was to develop within them his plan, his purpose, his character. And if you study out their lives, you'll see that that was developed within them. When you and I come to those times of solitude, those times of stress, that time of susceptibility, we're brought into the waiting room. We have to ask ourselves, what is the test that the Lord has for me? What part of character is He seeking to develop within my life? Because I'm here for a purpose designed by Him. And folks, we are. The time in God's waiting room, that hardship that you're in even right now, is for a purpose to develop within you character. But there is the flip side that we have to understand, and that is that there are temptations from Satan, the temptations of the devil. The Bible tells us that Satan, through these times of testing, these times of trial, uses those, or he designs them in his mind, to be able to lure us into sin. If you go back to Matthew chapter 4, again, I think that is rather plain in all of these things. As Satan would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and three times he would tempt him in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and in the pride of life. All of that was to cause him to sin. He wants to lure him away. He wanted to discredit the ministry of Jesus Christ. His desire is to lure us into sin. Why? Because he desires to, as the scripture says, sift us as wheat and to devour us as prey. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan desires to have you. And he desires to sift you as wheat." He wanted to tear him apart. He wanted to destroy his life. Peter would later write and say, "Beware, because you have an adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour his prey." Be sober. Be vigilant. You have an adversary who desires to destroy. In fact, if you would, take your Bible now and turn over to James chapter 1 for a moment. James chapter 1. You and I have to always distinguish the work of God from the work that the devil seeks to do. In James chapter 1, again, we're familiar with the passage there at the first part. Verse 1 says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." By the way, I want to remind you, the people to whom James is writing were scattered through persecution, hardship, pain, suffering. Here's James' first words to them. "My brethren," tender words, "brother, sister in Christ, Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Test, trial, difficulty. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be imperfect and entire, wanting nothing. Folks, that's the work of God. Molding and shaping our character. Then he gives us wonderful words of assurance. If we lack wisdom, let us ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. He does not upbraid us, but he will instead give to us that which we have need of. But we're to ask in faith, with nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea, which is driven by the wind and tossed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 12, he reminds us that those who endure this test of the Lord, there's the promise of reward. There's a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now come to verse 13. Here's the distinguishing features of these trials, these temptations, these difficulties. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Then he reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from God. You and I have to distinguish what's going on in our life as through this time of test, through this time of trial. God is seeking to develop within you the character of Christ, while Satan wants to lure you away to sin. Let's be careful, though, not to charge God foolishly, as James says, for God does not tempt men to evil. Satan does that as we're drawn away through our lust of the flesh, lust of our eyes, the pride of our own life. But you and I have to distinguish these times. God does not tempt us to sin. God seeks to bring about within us good. But folks, God does design for us times of solitude. God does design for us times of stress. God does at times cause us to be susceptible through weakness and sickness. But in it all, he wants to develop within you the character of Christ. Satan wants to destroy. He wants to devour us. We need to understand the difference. But folks, we also need to understand the purpose. Again, I want to consider with you some thoughts concerning the purpose. Why does God bring into our lives tests? Why do we have to face temptation? Why not just remove it altogether? Wouldn't that just be better? Why does God have to test us? I know sometimes kids think that at school. Why do we have to be tested over the material? Why can't we just go through the motions? Why take tests? Teachers understand that there are some students that it's not really a problem of their abilities, but some of them really just are bad at taking tests. Some kids stress out. You put a test in front of them, and it's stress. We've had some that would do things while they were taking tests. We had one man, young man here, he would take his pencil and just kind of scratch the back of his head. And I used to walk up to him and say, listen, if you keep doing that, you're going to have a nice bald spot back there. And it's not going to look good because it's going to be a line back there. It's going to be the weirdest bald spot ever. But he would just, he's taking that test and he would just panic. Wouldn't it be better just to remove all tests? What purpose is there for God to test us? Why allow us to be tempted by the devil? Jesus Christ was led away to be tempted of Satan. Why? Why do we have to go through those? The Bible gives us three reasons, I think, why God tests us. And as we begin that consideration this morning, I want you to take your Bible and go back to the beginning of your Bible, the book of Genesis in the 22nd chapter. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we find what I believe to be one of the first reasons God will bring into our lives test. why God brings us into His waiting room, why God allows solitude and stress and susceptibility. The first purpose that I want you to consider with me is simply this: the tests of the Lord are designed to determine our loyalties. They're designed to determine our loyalties. Look at Genesis 22. Look with me at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. But folks, Abraham is an old man. He has been faithful. He has been obedient unto God. He has put his trust in the Lord. He waited on the Lord for 20 years, almost 25 years, before a son was born that was promised of him. He went through a lot of hardships in that time. He went through several tests. Some he failed and some he passed. But Abraham now in his old age is now tested again of the Lord. Verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I tell thee of. Any parent, any grandparent here understands the heart-wrenching test that God has now put before Abraham. In Isaac is the promise of God. In Isaac is his love, his delight, his joy. Abraham by now is probably 120 some odd years of age. But he had probably the youth and enthusiasm of his son Isaac, because every day he woke up under the promise of God and there was Isaac, the light and joy of his life. God now comes and says, Take him and offer him as a sacrifice. Why? Why would God ever test him in that way? Look with me, if you would, down to verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Full, complete obedience. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. By the way, a couple weeks back we talked about sensitivity of heart. We talked of Samuel, who heard the voice of God and was willing to listen. I'm sure Abraham's glad that his voice and his ears were turned to the voice of God. He heard him call. Verse 12 gives us the answer. Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The test was designed to prove Abraham's loyalty. Erwin Lutzer makes this comment concerning temptations. He said, With all of its frightful possibilities for failure, it is God's way of testing our loyalties. When God brings a test into your life, it proves where your loyalty lies. God is trying to develop our passion for Him. He desires that we love Him more than anyone and anything else. He deserves the place of preeminence, does He not? I'm not sure how we can come off of a study on the triumphal entry of Christ, the cross of Christ, and Easter Sunday and not say that he deserves the preeminence? Because he does. And every test of the Lord is designed that it would show to us where our loyalties lie. God's desire is that we would choose him as Lord. He wants our passion to be for him, to be greater than our passion for anything or any sin. Again, God tested Abraham to see where his loyalties lied. Christian, consider this fact with me. Or consider the question, when you're tempted, when you're tested, whom do you choose? When you're going through pain and suffering, do you reach out to the Lord? Do we seek his help and strength? Are we grateful that his grace is sufficient for our every need? Are we trusting in him with all of our heart? Or do we falsely accuse him, even as James would say? God wants to test and see our loyalties. When you and I hold on to things like bitterness and anger and wrath and malice, are we not saying that we love self more than we love God? Because the Bible says very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4, to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And to be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. By the way, just a verse or so before that it says, and grieve not the Spirit of God. Why does it grieve the Spirit of God when we refuse to forgive? Because we're choosing self over him. We've determined that our loyalties are not with God. Our loyalties are for our own selfish desires. When we lie and stretch the truth, when we embellish the story, we spin things our way, we put everything in a favorable light for us, aren't we really declaring again our love for self over God? See, that God declares himself to be a God of truth and that lies are an abomination unto him. See, when we're tempted to lie, when we're tempted to stretch it just a little bit, it's a test to see where our loyalties lie. The same could be said for all lust and immorality and drunkenness. No matter what comes, we're choosing self over God. God brings times of test and temptation to determine for us our loyalty, but he also does it to develop within us our character. We've made mention of this already. One poet has very well said it this way: talent is formed in solitude, but character is formed in the storms of life. God brings times of test into our lives that we would be developed in our character. Dr. Bob Jones Jr., the founder of Bob Jones University, used to say, Senior said, that the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop you. God will test us to see just what it's going to take to stop us from serving him. What's going to stop us from walking the path of righteousness? What's going to stop us from serving him faithfully within our church? What's going to stop us from reading our Bible? What's going to stop us from spending time with him in prayer? And the test of your character is what it takes to cause you to stop. What stops you from loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might? What solitude do you have to face? What stress comes into our life? What susceptibility will make you stop? And folks, when we find those things because we fail, and don't be surprised that we fail some tests along the way. Bible says, though a righteous man, though he falls seven times, gets up again. I may stumble and I may fall, but I don't want to stop. My plan and my desire and my goal as a believer ought to be, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my life, I will serve you faithfully. No matter what you bring, no matter what we face, no matter how hard it may be, if I stumble, Lord, pick me up. And by the way, I love the fact that the Bible is that which is able to pick me up. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, yes, for my doctrine, yes, for my conviction, but it's also there for my correction. And that word there simply means set aright. Literally, put back on your feet. That we might then be instructed in the ways of righteousness and be fully furnished unto all good works. What's it take to stop you? Trials and temptations are a magnifying glass that reveal just how much work needs to be done in our lives. When we face with temptations, we can assess our loyalties. We can assess our purity. How easily are we enticed to sin? Paul struggled with sin, had not obtained yet unto perfection. But I think it's obvious as you read his epistles that he fought those things, and he fought hard against those things which enticed him. Paul is able to say at the end of his life, "Son Timothy, God is done with me. Time of my departing is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith." Hey, Timothy, and in all, I fought hard. Satan's going to bring his temptation. He wants to lure you away. But fight as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take every part of it, and with it all, having the shield of faith and the sword, which is the word of God, bathe it all in the spirit of prayer, so that we might be able to stand. God wants to use everything that comes into our life to conform us to the image of Christ, as Romans 8:29 told us. Job understood that when he was tried, he could come forth as purer gold. Peter again writes, "Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Christ." With every choice that we make to choose God over self, we strengthen our character and develop our Christ-likeness. There's one final reason, though, I want you to consider why God would bring into our lives times of test and allow Satan even to tempt his own. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because there we find that each test and each trial is a means by which God can display His grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 9, Paul has come to the Lord three times. Three times he asked the Lord to take away the thorn in the flesh. Three times he wanted his test and trial to be removed. But verse 9, "The Lord said unto him, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong, for I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended for you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." Paul says that there is an opportunity in every trial to display the grace of God. Paul was going through a life-changing event, and he wanted to go back to the way it was. He didn't want to have to face this any longer. So he asked the Lord, "Please, remove it from me." But God refused. Because he said, "Paul, through your trial, through your test, through your stress, God's grace is able to be on display." Can we be a little personal this morning? Jerry, can I be a little personal this morning? Has God's grace and power not been seen through what's been taking place in our brother's life? For a tumor to shrink at 99%? Is that not the display of God? Folks, if you can't see it, you're not having your eyes open. The diagnosis wasn't good. No treatment, 7 to 10 weeks. With treatment, 7 to 10 months. Our hope is that the tumor won't progress any further. It shrunk. Not a little, but a lot. That's the grace of God. That's the power of God. And glory ought to be given to His name. Not just for these things, but folks, in every trial and every test that comes your way, the grace of God is there. Some of you might say, "My loved one had cancer, but they died." But there is the God of all comfort that brought you comfort in the days of great grief. And the world can't comprehend how you can have such peace that passes understanding. Because they're still grieving greatly. And the reason you can is because of the grace of God. Some have surgeries and they're healed and they go back to normal. But yet I still have pain. But yet I still am able to move, and every day God gives me the grace to do what I want to do. Still gives me the grace to serve Him. Still gives me the grace that I can come to church. Still gives me the grace that I can be a witness for Him. See, every test and every trial is an opportunity to display the wonderful grace of God. And when we endure the heaviness through manifold temptations, as Peter said, we're coming forth as gold. And may all praise and glory be to God. Because His grace for me is on display. For when I am weak, oh how He is strong. Beloved, why does God allow us to go through such hard times? Why does He make us come into the waiting room? Why solitude? Why stress? Why susceptibility? Because He wants to know if you're loyal to Him and Him alone. And He wants to develop your character further. And in it all, He wants to display His matchless grace to a world who is watching. And don't be fooled, they are watching. To someone, you're the greatest example of what a believer ought to be. That neighbor that you've spoken with is watching how you respond. That co-worker that you've tried to share Christ with wants to see the grace of God advanced in your life while you're going through a hardship. That family member that you've been praying for so many years to come to Christ takes note every time you go through a hardship and a trial. Mom and Dad, your children are watching you to how you handle everything that comes. Every financial stress, they're watching, they see it, they know it. Hey, grandparents, don't be fooled. They're watching you too. you can be an example of the believer, or you can discourage them from the ways of God. You can allow Christ's strength to be seen, or you can show them a God that you feel is inferior and weak, and He's not. But your life will prove one or the other. Where do your loyalties lie? What needs to be developed within you? Because every time of solitude and every time of stress and every time of susceptibility is an opportunity for you to look at your own life and character and say, Lord, I'm weak. Then let Him display His grace and strengthen the character of Christ in you. None of us want to be in the waiting room. None of us want times of testing. None of us want trials. Oh, but I hope you would see and understand that they're by God's design. And in His gracious and loving hand, He's provided them for you. But be aware, there's the enemy, the devil, who wants to destroy you so quickly, devour you as prey. He wants to work in you. God wants to do good. Would you let Him? We serve a wonderful God. And from cover to cover, you can study through your Bible and find example of all that He is able to do and how He has met every need. David was able to say, I have been young, I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, not once. Nor have I ever seen his seed begging bread. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. God delights in his way. Though we fall, and we do, we're not utterly cast down because the Lord upholds us with his hand. Pray with me, please, as we close.